AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, January 14th, 2018, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to talk with Maddie Love and Daniel Hansen for a hopefully recurring segment where we'll dive deep into a denomination or religion, looking at where and when it was founded and what happened after that. Today, we'll be looking into the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yay.
This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet us when you're live or listening to the podcast. Maddie, Dan, welcome to Atheist Talk, and good morning.
Welcome. Thanks.
All right. So, Dan, you have done the research for this.
I have. I was also raised a Seventh-day Adventist, a third generation. My dad was a deacon. My mom was a deaconess. So I have a fair amount of background with this.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So let's get started with the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, so first a couple things. A lot of people have maybe heard of Seventh-day Adventists, but they get confused with, say, the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, or some of these other groups, and they're not the same. They actually came out of sort of the same time period and some of the same things that were happening, but they are a distinctive group. So what do you know about Seventh-day Adventists in general, either of you? Or what do you think you know?
apparently, they have a thing about 7 days.
Yes.
Guessing this is not having to do with the ring.
And it's advantageous or something?
Exactly.
Oh, I know that John Kellogg was one.
Yes, he was an early one, although there was a schism, because if you have a religion, you have to have a schism at some point. Yeah, the Adventism part is that denotes that they believe that the end of the world is drawing near. So that's where that comes from. And the seventh...
Any day now.
Any day.
We'll, almost there.
Multiple days are named. We'll talk about that in a second. And the seventh day part is they believe that the Sabbath is on Saturday and go from sundown to sundown, just like the Jewish people do. So, you know, from sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday, that's the Sabbath day. And you don't traditionally, like when I grew up, like you didn't buy anything, you didn't watch TV, you didn't, you know, work, you didn't do anything like that. Preferably you'd have already made up your food for the day, etc. So that
could you use a microwave?
Yeah, you can. You can do these things, but you really want to keep it to a minimal so that you can spend your time thinking about, you know, Jesus and stuff. So that's, you know, music, you wouldn't want to listen to probably contemporary music. You, classical was fine, which is where I got a little bit of my love for classical music. So see, it all works out okay.
Silver lining.
Silver lining.
There we go.
They're also vegetarian in general. That's not an absolute, but I think it's gotten shakier since I was SDA, you know, many years ago. But traditionally, yeah, that's another thing. I didn't eat meat until I was 18. So that's another thing. There's 25 million of them around the world, and they're one of the faster growing religions. But most of those are not in America. Most of them are, you know, spread throughout the world. I think I forget the numbers on America, but they're actually pretty small.
Is there like if in poorer countries, is there more, in richer countries, fewer?
It really varies. Like there's a lot of them in South Korea. And then there's a lot of them that they do outreach like in the, in Africa and a lot of the poor nations also. Yeah. So, that's just been an ongoing thing for a long time. So let's get back to the actual start.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
So when did this start?
Well, we have to go back to the 1840s. And
that sounds like a great time.
It was a great time if you were in religion, because let me tell you, there was something called the Second Great Awakening. The First Great Awakening was like in the 1730s and 1740s. The Second Great Awakening happened in the early to mid 1840s, and a lot of it happened in the western and central regions of New York. And this was actually got the name of the burned over district, because there were so many different religions that were going through and converting people that Charles Finney, the father of American revivalism, said that basically they didn't have any more fuel, unconverted people, to burn, convert. There was just everybody was at least one religion at that point. And there were huge camp meetings and things like that. And the two biggest ones to come out of this were the Mormons and the Millerites. And William Miller was an interesting guy. He did a lot of research and concluded that he had figured out pretty much when Jesus was coming back.
Oh, he figured it out?
Yeah.
So when was it?
You missed it, right?
Miller time.
Well, it was going to happen between March 21st, 1843 and March 21st, 1844.
And, oh, yeah, we missed that by a mile.
Yeah, there were tons and tons of people that bought into this, et cetera. And guess what happened on March 21st, 1844?
Ooh.
Hurts?
Ooh. Nothing.
Well, there were a lot of people that were disappointed.
Oh. Okay, so, yeah. So how is that different than normal?
Well, I'd be disappointed if I wasn't.
It was a minor disappointment because what they did was they sat and thought about this, and they're like, okay, you know what? We probably figured this out wrong because Jesus didn't show up. So they figured out that they had been using the wrong calendar.
Okay, so when was Jesus actually coming back then?
Well, they'd been using the rabbinic calendar, and they were supposed to be using the Karatai. I'm sorry, slaughtered that, Jewish calendar. And so they figured out that it's actually going to be April 18, 1844. Shortly after April 18, 1844, they figured that they had once again made a mistake, and this time they had it for sure. This was October 22nd, 1844. Really, really, this time.
Really, really?
Really, really. Now, the Millerites had somewhere around 100,000 people there. So the massive camp meetings and just, you know, a really, really strong following here. You got to remember, the population was a lot less back then, too. This was huge. I'm going to give a little hint of what's going to happen, okay? October 22nd, 1844 became known historically as the Great Disappointment.
I thought he was really going to come this time.
Right, okay. So people were so sure that this was right that a lot of them, like the farmers, didn't bother to take in their crops at the end of the year. People quit their jobs. They sold all their possessions. They broke off ties with their families. They did all this stuff because they were so sure. They went up on hilltops and mountaintops to be closer to Jesus when he showed up. Then they wouldn't have as long a trip, I guess, or whatever.
This is kind of reminding me, because wasn't there one like on October 21st a few years ago?
The Herald Camping one.
And then like people, I'd heard about people like, you know, quitting their jobs and stuff, or spending all their savings, and I'm looking, going,
it's actually rational. Like, if you really, honestly, truly think the world's about to end, shouldn't you? Like, I mean,
why would you spend all the time getting in the crops and everything?
Right. I mean, you don't need it.
Right.
Are you going to leave it for the sinners that are being left behind?
They've already had two things that didn't happen.
Oh, I didn't say like believing in it was rational. I said if you believe in it, then it's logically consistent.
But they worked it out this time. They knew their mistakes. You know, it's like when you do a math problem, you get it wrong. You're like, oh, I forgot to carry the one. This time it's right.
And how many more Jewish calendars that they have to fall back on?
Right.
This
well,
one
not a
it
lot.
It had to be this one.
So there was instances of violence. Millerite church was burned in Ithaca. There were churches that were vandalized. A mob attacked a congregation with clubs and knives. There was a group that was tarred and feathered. There were shootings. This was a big deal. And you know, if you had basically done something like that too, you'd thrown away your entire life because you believed this and you found out it was wrong. You might be angry too. I'm not saying you should be violent about it, but I kind of get it, you know?
Yeah, you're not condoning it. You just understand.
Right. So out of the Millerite movement came something like a dozen different groups. And I can't remember them. I don't have them written down here, but you'd recognize some of the names. One of the biggest ones was the Seventh-day Adventist. Because they figured, okay, well, something had to happen, obviously. I mean, right? I mean, we couldn't just have just made this up and just, right? So something had to happen. And so they came up with Well, they changed themselves to the name of Adventists, and taught that those expectations have been fulfilled in another way, and that what had happened was Jesus had entered the most holy place of heaven, and was now doing an investigative judgment of the world. So he was there with all the angels, and he was showing that all the people were bad, and so that's why, you know, we had to do all this. So if you were saved on that day, you were good. If you weren't, it was bad. It was too late. You couldn't do anything about it. So can anybody see a problem with this?
Well, I'm just wondering why Jesus is doing his own paperwork. I work in an office environment and such, and this just sounds like a lot of bureaucracy.
That's why we're still here. It takes a lot of work, okay?
And I'm picturing the I Love Lucy episode with the chocolates, but the souls are the chocolates, and Jesus is trying to stuff them everywhere because he keeps getting more.
That actually leads right into one of the big problems, because people kept having babies. And what do you do about the babies? Now SDAs don't believe in hell. They believe, you know, the Bible talks about it being like a sleep, and that's what it is. You just basically go to sleep, and there's no hell, and that's it. But still, there's big questions. Like, this baby is born. It's not going to heaven.
Yeah, and it's not like the baby's going to let you sleep.
So what do you do about this, right? So they kind of kicked around for a while,
Yeah, looks like we are going to have to figure out what happens after the break.
Yes, cliffhanger. What do you do about that?
What do you do with the babies? Please stay with us through the break, and we'll be returning to Atheist Talk with our guests, Maddie Love and Daniel Hansen. I'm Hertzie Hertz, and you're listening to KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday for an interview with Zaylor Stout of Zaylor Stout Associates, who will talk about sexual harassment in the workplace and other legal topics associated with the hashtag MeToo movement. It will be a live show, so get that dialing finger ready to call in. I'm hoping for great questions and lively discussion. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, and perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dina. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, in studio talking with Maddie Love and Daniel Henson about the history of the Seventh-day Adventists. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following the program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. Please note, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoints by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Maddie and Dan, this morning you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. With this wonderful information out of the way, Maddie, Dan, you left us with a cliffhanger.
Right.
What happened to the babies?
Well, you know, the Adventist movement kicked around for about 20 years after that, and they're trying to figure out what to do.
Well, I was going to say, right now it's the Miller movement, right?
Right.
It's
the Millerites, right. And Ellen White, who we're going to get into a little bit more here, was one of the founders. The main supporters and founders of this were James White, Ellen G. White, and Joseph Bates. Ellen White...
Is there any like relationship to Norman Bates?
I don't know. Probably not. and also John Kellogg from the Kellogg Sanitarium was also an early and strong supporter. He was, if you know about him, he's a very interesting person. He developed with his brother, I think. I'll check on that. But Kellogg cornflakes has to make them really bland and boring to like suppress your sexual urges, because if you eat boring food, then you don't want to have sex, apparently.
So he was a cereal member.
Sure, yeah.
I might have had to stretch for that one.
Yeah, a little bit. And so John Kellogg got later in, I think, 1906 or 1907, there was a schism and he split off from the church, but still adopted a lot of their practices. He just wasn't a direct follower.
Like you mentioned Ellen White.
Right. Ellen White is basically the prophetess of the SDA Church, which, you know, there's not a lot of prophetesses in American history, so that's an interesting fact. When she was 9 years old, she was being chased by another girl, and the girl threw a rock at her. Ellen, whose name was Harmon at the time, happened to turn at the wrong time, and the rock hit her in the parietal area by the eye socket. And she blacked out, and then she woke up
a heck of a throw.
In a local store that somebody had, they'd taken her in, and they thought maybe she'd be okay. So she got up and started to walk home, and immediately passed out, and then went into a coma for 3 weeks. Now remember, this is the 1800s. 3 weeks in a coma, they didn't have IV bags. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't fix her face up because they didn't think there was any point. She's going to die. Miraculously, she lived, and she came out of this, but she always had a lot of health problems and things like that. There is a lot of people that believe that, like, this might have been this brain injury, because, I mean, if you're in a coma for 3 weeks from getting hit in the head, it's a brain injury. That this might have had something to do with the fact that she started having visions and stuff, you know, not too long after that. Her first visions came after she hooked into the Millerites when she was like 14 years old. She'd gone to a bunch of the camp meetings and things like that. And she started having all these visions. And her visions were very childlike, kind of like what you would expect if a child was making something up. You know, she saw heaven and the streets were made of real gold and everybody wore crowns and, you know, things like this. It's
Why
like, well,
is it always gold?
You know, it's like, that's, I don't know that I would want streets made of gold, and wearing crowns sounds awkward and weird. And yeah.
Tiaras, maybe.
Right? Okay.
I mean, at least hold your hair back.
Sure.
True.
So it's like, it's like, it would have been more impressive if she started having visions that were, you know, maybe not quite as childlike, but
and streets made of gold would not be durable at all. Gold is pretty malleable,
and
maybe it's gold plated, but there's like real asphalt or something underneath.
Yeah, but that's gonna flake off really fast.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, in heaven, you'd think they'd have a substance that was, like, you know, pretty, useful, but at the same time, durable.
Things don't wear out in heaven. You're always comfy. So
yeah, well, yeah.
On walking on Gold Street, sure.
Apparently. Sure. So the SDA Church was officially established in Battle Creek, Michigan on May 21, 1863. And there were about 3,500 original members. So, you know, decent size church. Ellen White had visions throughout her time. And the SDA Church is based on this idea that, you know, the Bible comes first and foremost. That's where they get there. They'll tell you always that that's where they, you know, everything comes from. And then Ellen White is like supplemental. So if you have any questions or anything, you can go back to her writings, because she wrote a lot, tons of books. The Great Controversy is the most well-known and most popular, that's the one that they'll still, like, be happy to give you for free or leave on your door or annoy you with in some way, shape, or form. And it talks all about the Great Controversy between Satan and Jesus and how Satan was thrown out of heaven and you know, she goes into all the particulars and stuff. So some of the problems are that a lot of her visions were just wrong, demonstrably wrong, and that she plagiarized a lot of stuff. Now, SDAs today will tell you, it's like, well, you know, plagiarism really wasn't a thing back in the 1840s. Nobody cared. There are portions of the Bible that say not to plagiarize. Okay, it's nobody's ever liked plagiarizing. Plato, no, don't. You know, they would be happy to tell you. It's like, you can't. I wrote that. You can't just, you know, act like you came up with that. That's wrong. So, anyways, so here's. Here's a few interesting things that she claimed. Excessive seeing is a sin.
Can you define that? Yeah. What is excessive seeing?
Probably not. This comes from Councils on Diet and Foods from 1880. Excessive indulgence in eating, drinking, sleeping, or seeing is a sin.
Like too much prophesying, maybe? Which is what she's known for, so that would be ironic.
I'm like looking at food too long or looking at people too long. Maybe she doesn't.
Oh, yeah,
like
lust
it.
Is a sin. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
No,
not
that's
really,
we'll get into that.
Okay,
oh
gosh.
My.
Like,
oh, my.
Like the rest of it doesn't make sense.
No. Piano tuners will probably go insane.
Is that too much seeing?
This is, again, from letters.
No, that's too much hearing.
In many cases, I've advised out-of-door work for piano tuners, telling them that unless they change their business, they would have to deal with insanity.
Okay.
That sounds like somebody who's insane trying to tell a rational person, at least mostly rational person, something.
Well, have we done studies? That's what I want to know.
Always a skeptic.
Right. Tea and coffee drinking loosens your tongue.
That's actually true.
I'm looking at the thing of tea next to Dan.
Yay! That's why I'm talking.
And the one next to me. Maddie, what are you drinking?
Maddie?
Coffee, but like without the coffee, it loosened my tongue. Because I would have been like, it's morning.
See, the problem, she says, is when these users get together for social entertainment, the effects of this pernicious habit are manifest. All partake freely of their favorite beverages, and it stimulates their influence, and their tongues are loosened, and they talk of others.
And we're going to have to leave it at that, but we will return shortly. Thank you for listening for Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I got to promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar, as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, highs near 15, with wind chills as low as negative 15. Expect 1 to 2 inches of snow today. Tonight, lows around negative 4, with wind chills as low as negative 19. Tomorrow will be cold and sunny, with highs near 0.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at Canterbury Park. It's the smart place to start your home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hurt T, and we are having what I would classify as a hilarious conversation with Maddie and Dan, speaking about the Seventh-day Adventists. Before we continue with this conversation, which will be our final segment with Maddie and Dan, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I also want to note our dedicated group of volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form. I also want to note our donors this week, Cindy, a sustaining donor, and our new patrons, Matthew and Art. Thank you very much. If you're here, to help with the donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or at our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax deductible organization, and we couldn't do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis, and is used permission. Please note all opinions are of the guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect those of Minnesota Atheists as an organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can also browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendars of upcoming events. You can sign up for the Atheist Weekly email. This will tell you links, give you links to upcoming events. Like, we have one next week where a recurring guest, Marissa Alexa McCool, will be speaking at our business meeting.
Yay.
Should be super awesome. I know I will be there.
Ditto.
It's a great way to stay connected with the community, and we have tons of activities all around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. If you enjoy the show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists. Membership has some great perks, and check out the website for how and what. With all that relevant and useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Maddie Love and Daniel Hansen. And Daniel, you are listing off the things that Ellen White was speaking, prophesizing
beliefs that she had that God had shown her,
like tea was bad. That's kind of a Mormon thing too. Interesting.
Yeah, the anti-caffeine thing. Traditionally, SDAs don't drink caffeine.
So is herbal tea okay then?
Yeah, that's fine. because apparently that doesn't make you talk. So it's that caffeine. It's that stimulant. SDAs, traditionally, they don't drink alcohol. They don't drink caffeine. They're vegetarian. They don't dance. You know, all these things. And so actually, they have a very large health system. Loma Linda, et cetera, and their health system is well known of being really good. Adventists in general, because they lead such clean lives, live almost 10 years longer than the average American. So
not worth giving up my bacon.
Yeah, or dancing or whatever. I don't know.
Not to mention, which 10 years am I getting rid of here?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Or the nursing home type or 10 years.
I'm guessing the nursing home type, so I'm okay with more bacon.
That, and I mean, I could adopt these healthy living lifestyles. And not adopt the
Yeah, actually, you can do that. So, actually, like if you Morningstar patties, Morningstar stuff like that, that's all from SDAs. That all started there. Yeah, we'll move past that quickly. There's a couple things I want to hit here. Also, a couple of beliefs. She said in the Gospel Herald, which was the publication I think still is of the SDAs in 1901, that we wouldn't have to worry about color lines in heaven because once we went to heaven, everyone would become white. So she saw that. There's that.
So we're all going to turn into very vampires?
Very white. Uh-huh. So sort of like the Mormon thing with that.
That's
this was when again 1840
1901 was when she said this.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonder where she got those ideas.
Can't imagine.
Right. No.
So I want to tell you about like one of the visions that she had. She was trying to get this was before Elder Bates like came in and really, you know, with them, and so she invited them over along with her husband and a couple other people, and she went into a vision. And this is called her astronomy vision, and God took her flying through the solar system, and she stood there and made flying motions according to the reports, and she would say things like, "I see a planet and it has four moons," and Elder Bates said, "You know, she's viewing Jupiter." Because at that time we thought that Jupiter had four moons. Actually, Jupiter has 69 moons that we're aware of now, but, you know, that was, you know, the thing. And then she saw another planet that had rings and belts, and she saw eight moons, and Elder Bates said, she's describing Saturn. Saturn, we know, has at least 62 moons now, but again, that was the knowledge back then. And so Elder Bates was fully convinced by this, of course, that the vision was real.
Almost as if she had been fed this information beforehand.
Almost like she just had the knowledge of the day.
I was just really hoping she saw Uranus.
Seen that, if she would have said, you know, Jupiter has 69 moons, everybody would have laughed, and then now we'd be like, it does have 69 moons. Wow, okay, that's a little freaky. Then
that
I would have been
wow, it's like that prophecy that's demonstrably true after the fact.
That
like,
would have that would have been really good. Right.
Yeah.
And then there was another prophecy, the last one, about she prophesied that one of the people that had been sent to Australia, which was one of the places that they were kind of branching into, she had told this gentleman that was working for her not to buy some land. She had said that. Then she said that she had a prophecy that he was buying the land and that this was really bad, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out that the newspaper down there had actually incorrectly stated that he was buying the land and that he had never intended to. But, of course, it kind of looks like she might have picked up the paper on that, read that, and then had a prophecy, and then...
So her prophecies are kind of like Trump's tweets. He watches Fox
Less
News.
Less crass.
right. Just as racist.
Right. So, okay, when I was growing up, I want to touch on this Seventh-day Adventist, this thing with Saturday, because it's hugely important to them. All right. They believe it's really what defines them from the rest of the world. And most of them, when I grew up, I was taught that the Antichrist, when he comes, will be the Pope. And they believe that the whole world will come together as one government, which seems tricky since we can't even stand to sit next to each other usually.
I was going to say, this is sounding like a lot of Christian movies I've heard certain people make fun of. This is
where it all comes from. This is the origins. A lot of people don't know this comes from Seventh-day Adventism. They're young earth creationists. They believe the earth is like 6 to 10,000 years old. They believe in a noadic flood.
But let's go back to the one government.
Oh yeah, so it's all going to become one government, and everyone's going to be forced to go to church on Sunday. But they won't, because they have the truth. And because of this, they will be outcast and hunted down. And so they will be hunted into the hills, and just at the last moment, then right before they're all killed and stuff, then Jesus will come and take them off into heaven. Not 1844, though.
Persecution complex, check.
Yes, yes, indeed. So that's, you know, it didn't happen so much when I was a kid, but my older brothers, like, they would do little test things, like in the schools, kind of like you would have with nuclear bombs or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, what would you do if somebody came in and, you know, blah, 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 you know, sort of thing. So it's a little freaky like that.
All of those movies that God-awful movies make fun of make so much more sense in a terrifying way.
They all come from there.
Too bad they don't listen to our show.
here's I told you about the health message. Here's the other one good thing about the SDA movement, though. Because of this, they don't trust the government at all. They won't take any money from the government because it would behold them. All right. They are hugely into separation of church and state for obvious reasons. Their lawyers are often will work with like Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF, because they are fighting. And so it's like, well, that's great, actually. You know, I'm all about that.
There's a silver lining.
There's another silver lining. Right.
At the same time, we do have to suffer through them having ability to make all of those terrible movies.
Yeah.
But I don't have to watch those.
True.
Except for you might at one point.
But I'm getting recompense. I'm getting bread out of that.
There is a movie.
I did not say I would make you bread for this. I mean, if you ask really nicely, maybe.
the Great Flood sort of thing, that had pretty much been debunked, a long time ago, and everybody had given up on that. And one of the main things that brought that back was somebody named George McCready Price, who was an SDA and I think knew Ellen White. I'm not positive, or came out right after that. And he did a lot of the biblical geography sort of thing, showing that, you know, supposedly the earth was in a flood and stuff like that. That's kind of what brought all of the flood belief back also. So there's actually a lot of the things, some of the crazier things, honestly, that you like wonder where some of this came from. It's from this really small denomination.
How did they get the pull to get all this stuff back?
You know, I don't know, honestly. It's, you know, the right people in the right place. I mean, Ben Carson, right? I told you about their medical ability, you know. Well, Ben Carson, for all of his other flaws, was an amazing, you know, neurosurgeon. I don't know. I guess they do have a few strengths here and there, but...
we can judge the quality of their religious beliefs on one aspect.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they are bad people or stupid people or not industrious people.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, as a former SDA, most of my family are SDA, and, you know, some of them are the most amazingly wonderful, kind, generous people you'll ever meet. They donate their time. They help people like few people I've ever met in my life, you know. So I'm not sitting here in judgment on Seventh-day Adventists as people. I'm just laying down kind of where SDAism came from and some of the more crazy stuff. Because there's a lot of it that I haven't touched on.
Have to do this again.
Yeah. So don't, you know, don't make this into something that I'm sitting here like tearing into everybody who has these beliefs. I think some of the beliefs are a little crazy, and this is facts. I'm not making this up.
No. You know? I was going to say we can respect the people as people, but we can also look at what they look at as true and go, that's not right.
Yeah, we can love the sinner and hate the sin.
Exactly. Right? They're Trinitarians. If you're curious about that, they do believe in the Godhead, the three as one, and the one as three, and all that sort of thing. They believe in full baptism. interestingly, as an adult, preferably 12 and over, because they don't believe if you're a child, you can make a decision on something like that. So
there's all this stuff like, I was an evangelical fundy. A lot of this, these are the same beliefs I had, not minus the health stuff, minus the stuff. Saturday instead of Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of like 7-day creation, full flood, all that stuff.
Yep.
That was us.
I grew up Catholic, so...
Oh, so you were following the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Good job. Well, thanks, Hertz.
But we also believed the Pope was going to be the Antichrist.
Did you?
Yeah. That's the Left Behind books. I mean, it's not the Pope.
Oh, yeah, that was...
But the guy that steps in to be is essentially like the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I followed the Antichrist and then also, you know, did cannibalism. We'll talk about that one day, maybe.
Right.
Maybe I'll take a crack at the
Catholics. Do you still have a taste for that? Miss that flesh?
No.
No?
Okay. No, but thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Bye.
The first sentence of his email said, "I'd like to stay anonymous." And the second sentence said, "I'd like to donate $1 million to the Global Good Fund. Where should I send the check?"
I'm Tony Lloyd, and I'm the host of the brand new show, Social Entrepreneur. If you love stories that engage, inform, and inspire, you don't want to miss it. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate, here to let you know the Twin Cities Real Estate Show is back. Tune in each Sunday starting at noon to keep up with the latest news in the Twin Cities real estate market. You can also catch my business partner, Chad Vandelot, and myself as we fill you in on the most up-to-date tools, trends, and technology to give you the edge when buying or selling. Again, that's the Twin Cities Real Estate Show on this station, Sundays starting at noon.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh-baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome to Atheist Viewpoint. I'm David Silverman, president of American Atheists, substituting in for Nick Fish, our national program director, who is out. So today I'd like to talk to you about one of my favorite topics, which is the labels that we use. And I'd like to just rant a little bit about the term agnostic. Agnostic is one of those terms that I really, really hate. It's a term that I believe very, very few people should use. I think the only people who should use the word agnostic are the people who are literally in a situation where using the word atheist would get you physical harm or harm in some way, you know, maybe fired from your job. But I think there's a lot of atheists out there who call themselves agnostics, and they need to stop. So before I get into that, I want to just say that atheism is the absence of a belief in a deity. Theism is a belief in a deity and the practice around it. And if you're an atheist, you are without that belief. And that doesn't mean you're against that belief. That doesn't mean you're absolutely sure that there is no God. It just means you are without a belief in a God. And that is a very broad term. And it means just that. You are absent a belief in a God. So if somebody says to you, do you have a belief in a God? And when I say a God, let's use the correct terminology. A God is a sentient supernatural being. So God is not love. God is not the universe. God is not all humanity. God is a sentient supernatural being, a sentient supernatural entity. A God is a sentient supernatural entity. And if you don't have an active belief in one or many, you're an atheist. And if you don't have an active belief in a God and you absolutely hate the word atheist, you're still an atheist. But a lot of atheists don't like the word because it has a negative connotation. It has a negative connotation, of course, because religion says that we should have a negative connotation. Atheist has a negative connotation because religion trashes atheism, and so people don't use the word atheist, which is known, by the way, by 90% of the country. They use other terms like agnostic, which is a term I actually really hate, and I just want to mention why. I am holding in my hand right now a coffee mug. Now, this is definitely a coffee mug, and it's yellow, and it's got some writing on it, and I have just drunk my coffee from it. It is empty. There's some little coffee left in the bottom, and I am sure that it's a coffee mug. Now, am I sure beyond 0.0% of the doubt? No, because if you go philosophical, you can't be sure about anything. We could all be brains in a vat, in a spaceship, the Matrix could be a true story, yada, yada, yada. But we use the word sure all the time. We use the word definite all the time. We don't say, I'm pretty sure I'm holding a coffee mug, but I don't know everything in the universe. This coffee mug that's in my hand could be God, cleverly disguised as a coffee mug. I can't prove it's not true, and neither can you. If I smash the coffee mug into a million pieces, that still could be just God testing us, and you can't prove it's not true. So do I say this is probably a coffee mug? Do I say my name is probably David Silverman? I don't know for sure because I don't know everything in the universe. We use these terms all the time in everyday situations, sure, certain, definite, and in none of those times do we know everything in the universe. So when atheists couch their terms by saying, well, I don't know everything in the universe, so I'm not going to call myself an atheist, I'm going to call myself agnostic, first of all, they're wrong because nobody knows everything in the universe, and they're still atheists because you're using the definition that religion gives us, which is that atheism is the absolute denial of God's existence, which is false. And it makes us logically, it makes the argument logically incompatible with reality. We don't know everything in the universe, but we still don't have a belief in a God, which makes us atheists. Now, if we use the word agnostic instead of the word atheist, if we say, well, yes, I don't have a belief in a God, but I don't know everything in the universe, so I don't want to say it. So I'm going to say I'm an agnostic. What are we doing? We are elevating the idea of a God above everything else that we know to be true. We are saying God doesn't exist is less sure than this is a coffee mug in my hand. We are elevating religion above everything else that we know to be true. That helps religion. That boosts religion in our mind and as well as everybody else's. So when you're using the word agnostic, you're not only not answering the question about whether or not you believe in God, you're sidestepping the issue with whether or not you know everything in the universe, but you're only doing it for religion. You're only doing it because religion tells you that it's bad to say you're an atheist. And
I'm asking you to please consider that. Using the word agnostic elevates religion over everything else that we know to be true. I'm sure my name is David Silverman. I'm sure this is a coffee mug. And guess what? I'm also sure there's no God, even though you don't have to be sure there is no God in order to say you're an atheist. So I hope everybody out there will toss the word agnostic from their vocabulary, because it's a ridiculous thing to say. You are just as agnostic about this coffee mug being a coffee mug than you are about the invisible magic man in the sky. And if you're not willing to say you're agnostic about this coffee mug, or you're agnostic about your own name, you shouldn't be willing to say, I'm agnostic about God. Having said that, I need to talk about the National Convention for American Atheists, which is coming up March 29th to April 1st. We are making a positive and different convention this year. Hugh Laurie is coming to be our keynote speaker, but we also have a fantastic European feminist, the fantastic European feminist, Inna Shevchenko is coming. Barry Lynn, barring his health issues, is also scheduled to come. And Anthony Magdabosco is coming, as well as Yvette Guinevere, Yvette Dautremont. We are going to have a different and really, really interesting convention this year. It's going to be heartful. It's going to be loving. We're going to have a charity event, so that we can pack food for the hungry. We're going to be taking money to help an ex-Muslim move to America to help start his new life. We're going to be really going into the comedy and the fun. This is going to be a convention that I think you're going to remember. It's in Oklahoma City, March 29th through April 1st. And I want to make sure that people understand that our conventions are positive. They're welcoming, and they're fun. The objective of the convention, my objective of the convention, is for everybody to leave with great big sore faces from smiling too much. So please check out, the website is atheists.org. Tickets are on sale now to see Hugh Laurie and Barry Lynn and Inna Shevchenko and the best that atheism has to offer, and meet some fantastic people at the American Atheists National Convention in Oklahoma City. I hope to see you all there. Thank you all for listening. This is David Silverman from American Atheists. Please join American Atheists and have a wonderful day. The website again for the convention is atheists.org/convention. The website to join is atheists.org/join. David Silverman, thank you for listening.